ever wonder why Jesus had to die on a tree? There's many ways for a man to die. There was many ways that the Romans killed people. It wasn't just by crucifixion. You ever wondered why that it was necessary for Jesus to die on a tree? I would say that they didn't have too many more that was agonizing in the way that it was. Right? If you disobeyed Rome, that this is what was going to happen to you. I would say that this type of punishment was reserved for all the reasons that y'all just said. It was to scare people into obedience. The easy answer to this question is because it was prophesied that Jesus was to die on a tree. That's the easy answer. But I go back to the question again, why was it necessary that he die in this manner? So, I guess the better question would have been, why did it have to be so painful and so bloody when Jesus died? Why was it necessary that he was nailed to a tree and lifted up for people to see? I think it was Melvin said it was a terrible death. Yeah, I mean, why was all this necessary? Right, that was one way that they could, but I mean, why was it necessary that he die on a tree? Did you know that Scripture gives us an answer? You got to put this, you got to take a little time, you put it together, but there is a specific reason why he had to die on a tree. Right, that was there, that came off a tree. Genesis 2:17 says, "But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day you eat of it, you shall surely die." You know, one of the things that you bring up the crown of thorns, you know, one of the things that happened after this tree was exposed is that part of the curse was that we would till the ground and it would produce thorns and thistles. And that curse came from what? From that tree of knowledge being unveiled. The quick answer here is that Jesus died on a tree because of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. That's why it was necessary that he had to die on a tree. Now, so you can take my word for that, and you can think, okay, well, I can kind of see that. Or we can let Scripture prove that it was necessary and what Jesus accomplished by dying on that tree. Because one of the things that this is going to show us is that by no means does God work out things by chance. You don't catch him with his pants down. You don't catch him with him unawares. You're not going to get the best of God. He sees the complete picture and he puts it together the way that he wants to work out for his glory. And you would think that that's an easy thing for us to understand, but how do you feel in your life when you look at the things that have gone on in your life and you think, really, the things that have gone on in my life are going to bring glory to God? I mean, really, the menial things and the failures that I've had and what little I've ever done, they're going to bring glory to God? Yes. Everything that God puts his hand to accomplishes what he wants. And it was necessary for Jesus to die on a tree because sin came through that tree of knowledge of good and evil. Revelation 10:4 says, "Now when the seven thunders uttered their voices," John said, I was about to write them down. The thunder speaks in a language, you know? God understands it. God is bellowing out this to creation. Creation understands it. Do you know that leaves on the tree will turn upside down when it's about ready to rain? That's one of the sure signs that you'll know you're going to get some rain. So when the thunders come, God is speaking to creation through creation. And it's something that's being said there. And when the seven thunders uttered their voices, John was given the ability to understand what they said. He was about ready to write them down. But he heard a voice from heaven saying, "Seal up the things which the seven thunders uttered, and do not write them." Now, Revelation is a book that needs to be taught. Revelation is a book that can be understood. But there are certain things that are not to be understood. You know, Paul said he saw into the third heaven, and he probably saw some of the same visions that John did, but he wasn't allowed to write them down. There are things that men are not supposed to hear. There are things that men are not supposed to understand. That tree was one of them. And you ask yourself, okay, let's just get this question out of the way. How come God put a tree there to tempt us? That's what most people think, right? He gave you free will. It was your choice to touch that tree or not to touch that tree. And you think, well, no, that was just temptation. So you don't like free will. You don't like to decide what job you have. You don't like to decide who you marry. You don't like to decide what car you drive. You don't like to decide what bank you bank with. All these things are choices. And God has given us free will. And it was just the same thing. It was a free will when it came to that tree, whether if you were going to touch it or not. And you say, well, look, I didn't touch the tree. Okay, you didn't. But I'm here to tell you that once that tree was touched, the earth was cursed. And what we inherited it from Adam was not original sin. What we inherited from Adam was the flesh. Now we are born in the likeness of man, not in the likeness of God, because part of that image has fallen. Jesus came back to restore that image. Adam, the Scripture says, Adam was born in the image of God. But Scripture also says that we were born in the image of Adam. Part of what we were fell when that tree was exposed to us. And that was a choice. And because that choice was made, we inherited flesh. And you say, well, that's not very fair to me. Okay, so the people that moved from immigrants that come from Ireland and immigrants that come from all over the world to the United States, and here you are, a United States citizen, are you going to blame your parents because you were born here? This is just the hand that you were dealt in life. Inheriting the flesh, you know something different other than this flesh? You know something different other than being tired and being hungry? And wanting and not having? And crying and laughing? You know something different than these things? That's all we have. But there were things that men were not supposed to hear and to understand, and that tree was revealed to us. So you go back to Genesis 3, 1 through 6. It says, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And the serpent said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor touch it, lest you die. Verse 4, he says, then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desired will make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave to her husband with her and he ate. You know, the devil wasn't the snake. The devil just used the snake. I always thought the devil was the snake, you know, the serpent of old, but he just used the snake. And the snake became cursed because the devil used him. Because even the serpent obeyed the devil and disobeyed God. You see, we weren't the only ones that inherited something when that tree was exposed. The whole creation fell. The trees, the animals. Animals die because that tree was exposed. Because their lifeblood will end one day. The focus on the serpent, it's not the woman here, it's not the serpent, it's not the fruit. The focus of what was trying to go on here was the devil wanted to uncover that tree of knowledge to creation. That's what he was trying to do. Here was a tree that God had said, in the day that you touch it, you're going to die. And so the devil, his goal was to reveal this tree to mankind. Why? Because in the day that you touch it, you are going to die. And the devil, when he saw creation, he hated us. He wanted us dead. And so he thought, if I can reveal this tree to them, when God has said in the day you touch it, you're going to die, that would do away with creation. The devil didn't know what was actually going to come, is that the creation would fall and that there would be a Redeemer coming because of that fall. So he set everything into motion. The devil thought that we were just going to perish and go be done with. There was only two people there. He thought that we would just go away. How ignorant. God didn't make creation to die. God made creation to live. And so when this tree was revealed, which was his purpose, he thought, yeah, I got them. And then you know what happened? They didn't die. They lived for 1,000 years. And then eventually they did die. Spiritually they died that day. Physically they died later. So the devil thought, gosh, man, what am I going to do here? But after the fall, the earth was cursed, he was cursed, and there was a prophecy about a seed that was to come. And the devil said, okay, I just got to find that seed. If any sin is to be atoned for, it's got to start here. This is where it started. If Jesus Christ is going to atone for our sin, he can't go back. Where's he going to stop? Is he going to go back to my parents and stop there? Well, no, that's ridiculous. He's going to go back to your parents and stop there? No, he can't do that. He's going to go back to your grandparents and stop there? He can't do this. He's got to go back to where sin started. And guess where it started? In the revealing of that tree. There's one thing that I don't know if we quite understand what atonement means. We're going to see that in here. I didn't understand it. When God forgave us of this sin, when atonement was made for this sin, that means that sin was done away with in God's eyes. And if that was going to happen, he had to go back to the place where it originated. Revelation 20, 1 through 3. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, and there was a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of that dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up. And he set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. What I want us to see here is that the devil went about deceiving the world. That's what he did in the very beginning. He deceived Eve, he deceived the serpent, and he deceived creation. All of it fell. And the Bible says something happened here that chained him and stopped him from deceiving the nations. This is what changed the devil. When we listen to the gospel message, listening to the gospel message is listening to God in the very beginning. See, when Jesus spoke in the garden and he told them, do not eat of this tree, they didn't listen to him. And they fell. But when the gospel is brought to you, because remember, the blood of Jesus atones for our sins. And when this gospel is brought to you and you obey that gospel and you listen to Jesus, your sin has been atoned for all the way back to that garden. And that means that had you been there at that garden and the serpent would have come to you, you would have said, I will not eat. This is what redemption means. See, Jesus said, I'm going to take care of this tree. And I'm going to bring the question back to you that was brought to Adam and Eve. And everybody is going to have free will to make their choice. Now, Adam and Eve saw a fruit. We see a choice. Believe in this gospel or believe in another gospel. You don't think that when people come to you and bring you a false plan of salvation, who is that from? Is that from God or is that from Satan? It's not from God. So it's the same thing as when he brought this fruit, and he said, look at this tree. And she started to look at it, and she said, you know, it does look pretty good. And I can see how wisdom would be nice. I like it the way that Adam told me all the names of these animals. I can bring something to him. And it was desirable for her. She reached out and picked it. Why do you think they bring a false gospel to you? Because it appeals to your flesh. You don't have to come into church. You don't have to go be baptized. You don't have to get wet. You can just say a prayer and you're good to go, and you can live your life the way you want to live it. Listening to the gospel message is listening to God in the beginning. And by doing this, we reject the devil. When we're born again of water and spirit, our immersion puts us back into the garden spiritually. Understand what redemption means. If you go to 2 Timothy 2:25, he says, if God perhaps will grant me repentance. And I thought, wait a minute. And I know I've said this before. I thought I'm the one that determined if I repented or not. And this says that God is going to grant me repentance. And so when you look up that word repentance and you start tracing it down, and there's probably 30 different words to chase down, you really got to be interested in doing this. If not, too much, you know? Too much. It's just, you get bored and you're just like, oh my gosh, your eyes start crossing. It's just too much. But when you trace it down, you see two paths. The path of the unredeemed, it says they are a walking ball of wax. They have no life. They have no future. They're dead. There's no life in them. The other path of the redeemed, it says it takes you back to a place where, not that you were forgiven of sin, but it takes you back to a place where sin never existed. You understand what that means? It, when we're immersed into Christ, we our sins are atoned for, and in God's mind, we're put on the other side of the tree. Not this side. Spiritually, we're put on the other side of the tree. And that tree has no pull to us, because the knowledge that we seek is the knowledge of God, not the knowledge of the devil. And we were given the choice. When we accepted that gospel message, that chained him. Because what brought sin into this world was revealing that tree. And when it chained him, he couldn't reveal that tree, because Christ hung on that tree and he covered it back up for us. And so now our forgiveness puts us on the other side of the tree. You are in a state, if you have been immersed into Christ, where you never sinned. That's the way God sees you. Can you believe that? That's a tough one. But when Jesus atoned for the sin, he went all the way back to where sin started. And it started with the revealing of that tree to us. It started in the heart of the devil. But for us, it started in the revealing of that tree. By doing this, this breaks the power of the two beasts, because they can no longer deceive the nations. Right? We read that in Revelation. The two beasts, the governments and the false teachings about Christ, we see the truth about these. Government's not going to deliver us. We don't get to pick a Jesus whom we're going to follow and who our Redeemer is going to be. And because that tree of knowledge of good and evil has been covered back up, guess what? He stops the deception that was brought into the world that says, did God really say this? He didn't say this. And you say, because remember, we're on the other side of the tree. You say, he certainly did say it. He certainly did. Part of what changed that devil is that when that tree is covered back up, he does not have the ability to deceive us any longer. That's what Corinthians and Peter tells us. 2 Corinthians 2:11, Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant of the things that the devil uses against you. You know why? Because you're not deceived anymore. You've been forgiven. You've been brought on the other side of the tree. You already know what his deception is. Don't listen to God. Listen to me. We've already seen that. We're not going to fall for that one. Right? Isn't that what he did? You go all the way back to the sin that started all of this. It was believing him and not believing God. And Paul told the church in Corinth, 2 Corinthians 2:11, don't be ignorant of how the devil works. It's through a deception. And you see the truth. 1 Peter 1:12 says that these things have been known since the beginning of the world. They were revealed in the prophets, but they didn't understand what was going on. It was only in bits and pieces they prophesied, but all of that prophecy has been delivered to the church. It has been revealed not to them, but to us. So if we're going to be deceived again by the devil, why would we? We know what he did. He uncovered a tree that God said, let it remain covered. And with that lie, he deceived the nations. Why would we fall for that deception again? Jesus has covered that tree back up for us. When he was nailed to that tree, that was the tree that he was nailed to. Luke 23:39-42. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. When Jesus was on that tree, this summed up from Adam and Eve to all who lived before the day of Pentecost. When he was on that tree, that summed that up. Here you had Jesus standing there, and then you had one on each side. Do you know what they represented? They represented the choice that you had. We've been told this before. You had the devil over here running his yap. You're nobody. If you're somebody, why don't you show us? You can't do nothing. He's over here running that yap. Nobody's going to believe in you. And then the other person over here says, no, I believe that you are who you say you are. And see, Jesus represented that tree because the tree of knowledge, he covered it back up and he offered us a choice. He's standing there. He's blocking that tree. And there's the person that says, if they had the worldly mindset, they were the one on the thief that was mocking him. If they had a godly mindset, they were the one that accepted him. Eve had a choice. And God is Jesus is hanging there, and he's with his own blood, with his own body, he's blocking that tree. And he says, make the choice again. Make the choice again. Can you see it? That's why he had to get nailed to the tree. Because his body and his blood covered it back up. And he comes to you and says, make the choice again. What an amazing God. That we fell in the way that we did. That we spit in his face. And that we didn't care about him. And he takes his own body. The punishment that he brought on the world, he brought on himself. He brought it on himself. He took that punishment. And he says, I'll take it. I curse the world. I curse the flesh. I curse death. I'll take it. And I'll take it all so that I can bring them back to that garden and they can make the choice again. And there he is hanging on that tree and he says, make the choice again. Make it again. See, for us now, we listen to the gospel or we reject it. And it's just like in the garden, those who rejected it, they sow fig leaves for themselves. There's a lot of people out here, a lot of denominations that are sowing fig leaves. They're selling them like crazy. You know why? Fig leaves are a lot more stylish. Fig leaves are easier than the shedding of blood. The shedding of blood means that something has to pay. And whose fault is your sin going to be? These denominations teach you that you're not responsible for your sin. You're born in original sin. They even talk about babies that are born and that they are born in original sin. That's a huge teaching of Catholicism. What a lie. No baby is born in sin. They don't reject or accept Christ. They don't know anything except that they want. They don't even know what they want. We are given the choice once again through that gospel message to listen to God in the garden or reject Him. What an amazing thing that He's done. Two thieves, one on each side, they represent the devil and Eve. And the devil was a thief from the beginning. You think it's a coincidence that the two that were up there were thieves? He was a thief from the beginning. And that thief was crucified on that cross. See, there's a little more that comes into this. Colossians 3:3-4. Colossians tells us right here, "For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Tells you right there that our sin is now hidden. That tree is now hidden. That's the only way He can hide our sin is to hide that tree. That's why He was crucified on a tree. But when Christ appears, our life appears. Who is our life appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Christ is going to come back to show that we've made the right choice. Because there's a lot of people today that don't believe we made the right choice. Heck, even some of us might at times feel like we didn't make the right choice. Right? Being a Christian is tough because you feel like that you can't express your anger. You feel like you can't express your joy. You feel like that you can't you can't just do what everybody else does. When you get angry, you want to do what they do because that's what they do to you. And so that's what I mean when I say you feel like you can't express your anger. You have limitations that they don't have, and that makes you mad. When people get happy and they run with this joy and they wake up and they feel no conviction on Sunday mornings, they're just sitting there drinking their coffee and they're watching the sun and they just think, you know, God is so great. This is just so wonderful. And they have no conviction whatsoever. And yet you're tired, you're sick, you're not feeling well, you're fighting with your spouse, you're fighting with your kids. I mean, all of this stuff, and you bring yourself here to this building. Wouldn't you like to just sometimes be left alone, sleep in a little bit longer? At times in our life, we've all found ourselves there. We feel like that we can't express ourselves the way the world does, and we see them do it, and guess what happens? Nothing. Nothing, right? We see them and nothing happens. That's the deception that the devil used when he told Eve, "You will not surely die." And so she bites into that fruit. And guess what happened? Nothing. That's what she saw. Nothing. And so she gave it to her husband and she says, "Gosh, I want you to see what I see. I want you to feel what I feel. I want you to experience this." We didn't die. But they did. It was a deception by the devil. It was a deception. And so we live the same life. We're deceived into thinking that these people are getting by with all these things. And if we understood what judgment was going to bring to them, we would be content with God's wrath. But yet, no, we still feel like we got to get jabs in. We feel like we got to get we got to get our satisfaction. And hey, I'm right there. I know what that feels like. I know what that feels like, man. It feels great for somebody to get what they deserve when they've hounded you and made fun of you and they get what, yeah, I know what that feels like. But if we understood what was coming with judgment, we would understand that God's wrath is sufficient. When we died, we died when we were immersed. We were immersed because we obeyed the gospel. So once again, our life is hidden because that tree has been hidden once again. Because what did the Bible say happens when we are baptized into Christ? for the forgiveness of sins. And that word means that God doesn't, He doesn't remember your sins. He's not sitting there thinking, you know, I got to watch Calvin in this area right here. He's a player right here. I know what's going on here. I remember what he liked to do. No. It's gone. It's not there. Your sins that were committed, God sees no more. They're not there anymore. There's nothing to bring up. You're in a state where you have never sinned. Our life is hidden because that tree has been hidden once again. See, here's the other part when I said there's a little more into it. The devil thought that a life lived in the flesh would be a life that he could control. That's what he thought. When that flesh fell and that sway was given to him over the world and he had that power over people, which was death, he thought that, you know what? I've got them. A life lived in the flesh, I can control. Because I got the woman to see her desire and take it. And I got the man to see his desire and take it. A life lived in the flesh, I can control. And you know what? To some degree, he's right. Even the Bible says that for a morsel of food, a man will transgress, which means he will do something that he knows is wrong. For a morsel of food. What do you think you would do for something larger? Like, say, your spouse, your kids, your job, your bank account? Yeah, life lived in the flesh. The devil said, I got him. I got him. He never in a million years thought that Jesus would bring him to a place where he would cover back up that tree. That was where his power was from. The deception that he brought onto the world. And when Jesus covered that tree back up for those immersed into Christ, the deception stopped. Galatians 5:24 through 25, it says, "And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." You see, Jesus showed him that our life lived in the flesh has been crucified. He never saw that coming. He never saw that coming. When Jesus hung there on that tree, and those that accepted him, they crucified that flesh. You know what that means? That flesh was dead. That flesh that the devil had control of is dead. He does not have control of you any longer. Because that tree that brought about that deception, Jesus covered it back up with his body and with his blood. And now we see the deceptions of the devil. They're just lies. He doesn't have control of this flesh any longer for a Christian, because for a Christian, this flesh has been crucified. And now the life that you live for Christ. Because now you're on the other side of that tree. What an amazing thing that God has done for us. Who would ever thought that he could right a wrong in the way that he did? And that's why he had to die on that tree. It wasn't because God wanted him to suffer that way. It wasn't because God wanted him to be held up in front of people as a disgrace. When that tree was exposed, it disgraced the creation of God. And Jesus said, "I'll take that disgrace." Because you remember in when you look back through the Old Testament, we see that in God's wrath, he wanted to do away with all of creation. Remember that? First time we see that? And you know what the Bible said? Noah found favor in the eyes of God. Jesus said, "I will cover that tree back up. The curse that you put on this, the curse that came about from that tree, I will take it. I will crucify my flesh to give them one more chance." And God said, "Fine. You give them one more chance." He said, "That's all I'm asking. This is your chance." Scripture says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin. And you will receive the gift of His Holy Spirit. And He tells us this is a promise to all that do this. And see, the thing is that there's many people within the sound of this recording that they've been immersed. But ask yourself why. Was it for the remission of sin? To receive the indwelling Holy Spirit, or was it done after you were saved? It makes a difference. Paul said that in the 19th chapter of Acts. Those people had been immersed, and he asked them if they received the Spirit, and they said, we didn't even know there was a Spirit. And you know how many people are immersed that are told that they already have the Spirit, and it doesn't come from that immersion? It's confusion. Is God confused, or is the devil confused? If you start listening to the devil, you know what you start doing? Start uncovering that tree again. You don't want that tree uncovered again. Because what it took to cover it back up, you can't pay that price. And God has already paid it. So what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?